This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. 16 and 17-year-olds are now eligible for COVID-19 booster shots. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation will begin offering Pfizer booster vaccines to this age group starting tomorrow, on Tuesday. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention authorized Pfizer booster vaccines for 16 and 17-year-olds last Thursday. The decision makes Pfizer booster shots available to 16 and 17-year-olds who received their first two doses of the Pfizer vaccine at least 6 months ago. The Moderna and Johnson & Johnson booster vaccines are not yet authorized for this age group. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky cited the protection the vaccine provides against the Omicron variant of the COVID-19 vaccine in a statement announcing the CDC's recommendation for 16 and 17-year-olds to receive booster vaccines. Booster shots are also available to everyone age 18 and older who received two Pfizer or Moderna shots at least 6 months ago or who received a Johnson & Johnson vaccine at least 2 months ago. Vaccines are available in Bethel on the second floor of the hospital Monday through Friday. If you're in a village, YKHC asks that you complete the online form on their website to request a shot at your village clinic. Moving now to salmon. Last week on Wednesday and Thursday, U.S. Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan, along with Representative Don Young, held a Zoom meeting between salmon researchers, tribes, and fishery managers. Their goal was to unite these groups' efforts to determine the cause of the ongoing Chinook declines and the sudden chum crash in western Alaska. KYUK's Olivia Eberts reports, after 2 days of meetings, the groups are still at odds over what's causing the declines and what the best way to move forward is.
Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game kicked off each day of the two-day conference with remarks. He spent part of his time reassuring participants that he believes the salmon can bounce back.
You know, salmon are cyclical. They go up and down. I'm not trying to belittle what's happening this last year because that was definitely a big crash.
But he also said that the state of Alaska plans to look into some of the issues they believe are contributing to the crash. He mentioned theories like bycatch, the salmon being potentially caught in other Alaska fisheries, and salmon being consumed by predators. He said we're losing unknown amounts of chum to Russia.
We know Russian trawlers catch salmon, but do not know how many or what the origin of the caught salmon are. As a member of the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, we have written a letter to the Secretary of State asking them to work with us to get a genetic analysis of Russian salmon bycatch.
But he didn't mention the main theory for the salmon declines floated by researchers from NOAA and the University of Alaska Fairbanks, that the chum crash is likely caused by warming waters out at sea. Here's Dr. Ed Farley. He's the scientist at NOAA who monitors salmon habitat. He's been doing that for 20 years. He presented at the roundtable and spoke with KYUK afterwards.
The thing that we're noticing, especially in the northern Bering Sea, is in this extreme warming events that we had starting in 2016 all the way through 2019 is a real shift in the food web.
Basically, in the years with the warmer oceans, baby salmon haven't been able to get critical food sources. That kills them off, scientists think. But Farley points out that scientists still have a lot to learn. Just last year, for example, scientists learned that chum overwinter in the Gulf of Alaska. Now that scientists have confirmed where the young fish spend their winters, Farley hopes they can get closer to determining why they're dying. NOAA is planning several sea voyages this winter to the Gulf to study the issue. Many entities attending this roundtable agree that there's a need for more and better data. More sonars on the river, more monitoring out at sea, etc. But some tribal leaders say it should be more about taking action. Here's Mary Peltola. She's the executive director of the Kuskokwim Intertribal Fish Commission. She was on the call as a listener and was wary about potentially endless research projects.
We don't have time to sit on our hands and wait for these research projects to start and finish. precautionary management needs to happen now. Adaptive management needs to happen now.
Peltola says managers need to be looking at salmon habitat in Western Alaska in a holistic way. That means across river and ocean systems. Right now, there are researchers who study marine life of salmon and researchers who study the river life of salmon. But there aren't many who do both. And the management of the fish is split between the ocean vessels and the river residents. There are caps on the number of Chinook trawlers can catch as bycatch, but no caps on the number of chum. Yet river residents sometimes aren't allowed to catch any salmon. Peltola says splitting it up like this doesn't make sense.
We have got to find a way where we manage river systems as a whole system and not these silly man-made jurisdictional issues. The Department of Fish and Game says their hands are tied when it comes to salmon bycatch in the Bering Sea because that's under the purview of the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. Having both agencies pointing at the other, that is unfair to all of the users.
Peltola says we should be listening to the traditional knowledge from people who know the land, like Elder James Nicorai of Kwithluk, who says that to know what's happening in the river, it's best to look up.
I watch the migration of the spring birds that are coming in, especially the geese. If they're abundant, our salmon will be abundant.
Two of the meeting hosts, Senators Sullivan and Murkowski, said they plan to look for federal funding for salmon. Sullivan mentioned he was working on a bill that would include funding for Alaska salmon research, but it's unlikely to go through. Fewer than 1% of bills filed in Congress become law. None of the 23 bills Sullivan sponsored this year have passed the Senate. The entities attending the meeting did not come to one solid, quote, path forward as the delegates had intended. But Senator Lisa Murkowski said she hopes this will be the first of many such meetings. Meanwhile, subsistence users on the Yukon River are going without salmon for the winter, and users on the Kuskokwim have a reduced supply of chum and chinook. In Bethel, I'm Olivia Eberts.
The Alaska Federation of Natives is holding its annual convention today and tomorrow, and it is all being held virtually. The convention theme is ANCSA at 50, Empowering Our Future. Multiple sessions today will focus on the origins and consequences of this landmark legislation, ANCSA, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. There are many ways to watch the convention, on the AFN website or Facebook page, or on TV station 360 North. You can also listen to the entire convention right here on KYUK 640 AM. We'll broadcast sessions from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. and then from 1 to 5 p.m. each day. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Koyana for listening. Please email us your news tips, questions, and feedback at email address news@kyuk.org or message KYUK on Facebook. And stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.